for this morning, for allowing us to be here, for allowing us to wake up and just be together, Lord. We ask that you be with our discussion this morning, Father. Help us to really focus on you and you alone, Lord. And whatever comes out of our mouths, God, help it to be encouraging, uplifting, Lord, that the church, God, would be edified and that you would be glorified. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, guys. So this morning, it's going to talk about Jesus. He is the perfect template. Does anybody know what a template is?
Yes.
What's a template?
Well, I actually had to come up with a template for work.
Okay.
Because I had to come up with an invoice now that I'm contracting. So I went to the Word document and you can search for a template.
Okay.
So there's a standard.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. So a template kind of helps set a pattern for you kind of to
right.
go on.
Right.
Yeah. I remember back in the days, man, this is back when I had to do a resume to find a job. I ain't done a resume in 8 years, but they had all these resume templates to kind of help you to do the right resume,
helpful.
You know, and everything.
Yeah.
Nowadays, on the news, they say don't do that. Times have changed. But a template kind of gives you a pattern to go by. You know, so this kind of focus is going to be, why is Jesus the reason for the season? Because he is the perfect template. A template, it is a pattern used to shape things. God, who is perfect in every way, chose to use himself as a template to shape you and I. Why would he do that? And that's the question. Why do you think God would do that?
Because he knows who we should be, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what he created us to be, you know, what he created us for, and how he wanted us to behave and act. And so, you know, we needed a template to kind of guide the way, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also the telling approach did not work. So he had all his prophets who were like, do this, do that,
mm-hmm.
and the law that said, do this, do that, and that just did not seem to be working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plus, God's character is unchanging. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've often used an analogy is that, you know, you have people coming over the house for dinner, real important people. You need to get all your nice silverware and everything out. But at the last minute, there was a problem. You needed a screwdriver, and all you could come up with was a butter knife. And you went and twisted that button. You got the job done, but the butter knife isn't meant for that.
Right.
And when you put it back on the table, it's not even presentable anymore. You can't. It's not presentable.
Yeah.
It's all been twisted and stuff.
Yeah. How many of us had to use a butter knife for something? I am guilty of that. When he said, I'm guilty of the butter knife.
Everybody knows it.
What makes our man think the way? This butter knife, it'll do it.
Yeah.
That is so true, the butter knife effect. You know, I thought about when God using himself as a perfect template, I thought about those who have been blessed to have kids, you know. Your child comes out, and God has made your body a template to kind of help shape this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this kid get out, we have a way of saying, you act like your mama, or you act like your daddy. That's, you know, we only want the good points. But I thought about that from God's perspective, like, man, like, just giving birth to mankind is like, I'm going to be the template. And I look at them like babies who I'm going to help shape along the way. And I just kind of thought about, you know, what an amazing thing that God did, use himself as a template, as for us to be shaped and to be the people that we need to be. You know, we want our kids to be the perfect reflection of what is good and righteous. God desires the same. Jesus is the ultimate template that we're based off of. We're going to talk about two things here this morning. First is Jesus as the divine image and temple, as he is the template. First of all, the perfect reflection. He perfectly reflects God's attributes, goodness, care, and power through his action, like calming a storm. We know about that story in the Bible. Healing many people, and feeding the hungry, making God's invisible nature visible. So how do we as a church, or how can we as a church make God's invisible nature and our community visible. What do you think we can do?
Through our behavior, the way we speak, the way we serve.
Yeah, just piggybacking what she said, just the little things that you do, just opening up the door for somebody, waving to your neighbor goodbye, or, you know, having a smile on your face.
I thought about that show Truman.
Yes.
Yes, that show Truman.
Yes.
And if I don't say goodbye, hello, you did, yeah.
Also, just loving them. You know, said the word says that the world will know we are disciples by our love for one another. So loving each other and loving them shows Jesus who he is.
Does it do any good to have a template and keep it to yourself?
No.
No. Yeah. Most people want to share it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what God wants. God wants us to be that visible presentation of who he is among ourselves and in our community.
Yeah.
He wants us to be the perfect reflection of what people are looking for in the world. I'm going to read the scripture, Acts 10:38. And it says, talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Richard, I think somebody knocked on the front door. How God was with him. So let's understand this scripture here. To be like Jesus, that perfect template, that image that reflects that. He talks about how, you know, how God anointed Jesus. We as a church have been anointed. He says, anointed as with the Holy Spirit and with power. But with that anointment, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I think in this world, we see a lot of people oppressed.
Yes.
On every angle, every different direction, people are just oppressed. And when people are oppressed, how does that make them feel? What is the kind? What are you seeing in them?
Discouragement.
Anger.
Bitterness.
Yeah.
And also, there'd be a lot of underhandedness.
Yeah.
They got to find some way to get theirs.
Yeah. When people are oppressed, man, they're just, their whole demeanor just changed. The whole thought press, the whole character, everything just changes, man. And what can we do as disciples, as that temple of Jesus? How can we help a person like that? Think about the things that Jesus did that I just read. What can we do? Because we've seen these people before, and we see them always. So we as God's template, what can we do? Or what should we be doing?
We should be looking for them and looking out for people in need and inviting them to be part of us.
Good morning.
Also, think praying. Good morning. Praying for God to open our eyes to see the ones that are seeking, because there are lots of people. Jesus had lots of people, right? That were in the world around him that were oppressed, but not everybody was seeking. So I think he did a lot of prayer also that God would lead the ones who really were searching to him, or that he would find them. But he didn't concern himself with everyone. He made an opportunity available to everyone, but did recognize that not everyone would take advantage of it.
And asking questions.
Yeah. Okay.
I think recognizing people, just acknowledging that I see you type of thing. I know one of the things in a lot of Latin countries, we always say hello in the morning. We say, whoever we see on the street, we try to say hello, greet them. And I think some people like that. They know that you acknowledging that they're there, that they are in your presence.
People need a lot of love, need a lot of encouragement. You know, one thing I noticed about Jesus, him being altar template, he had a lot of patience.
He did.
Something I noticed about God, the Creator, he has a lot of patience because we're still around. You know, I've known brothers at times, and I understand them. As I get older, I understand the frustration. Like, I remember brothers would say, Jesus need to come now. He was just so frustrated. You know, I'm like, I'm not getting that. But, you know, if you live long enough and you go through a lot of things, you start feeling like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this no more. Like, whatever. But then you think about God's position. God's like, well, I'm just patient. I'm patient. I've got everything lined up how it should go. Patience. I think reflecting the perfect template is we have to be patient as we try to help people who are being oppressed, who are constantly being oppressed. And all they know is despair, the discouragement, depression, you name it. They feel like it's never going to get no better. And God tends to give us reminders of people who were patient to help you. I was out yesterday running around doing stuff, and as I was coming in the Kroger parking lot, I seen one of the nurses from Methodist Rehab. I think she was walking with her mama, one of the young girls, and I was like, that's so-and-so. And I remembered her because she was one of the many ones that helped with Charisse. You know, and I thought, wow, you know, here she is, with my, and she always wears a mask. She's a young girl, but she always wears a mask wherever she goes. She's like, sitting here, she was telling the hospital, you just don't know. She's taking that thing seriously. She's masked up. Got to be no more than maybe late 20s or early 30s, but she's masked up. But I recognized her face, and I reminded of her patience, you know, of just taking care of people, you know. To be the perfect reflection, that's one of the things we have to do, is be patient with people who are oppressed. Because when people are in that moment, you may have all the right things to say, you know all the good, but sometimes they've been so long in that place, it's going to take them a little time to come out and see that, wow, you are like Jesus. You are who God sent to me. You are who I've been looking for.
Right.
That's another side is, man, can you just snap out of it? If someone's like that. But it takes that patience to be like that. You know, another part of the thing of talking about the temple, you know, the true temple, Jesus' body became the ultimate temple,
right,
replacing physical temples,
right,
where heaven and earth met, and through his sacrifice opened the way for God to dwell in people.
That's right.
I thought that was powerful. He opened the way for God, for God to dwell in people. You know, being a perfect reflection like Jesus, that's one of the things we're called to do, to help open the way for people to connect with God. Because
right.
God desires to dwell with them and in them. And that's one of the things we're called to do. I want to look at the second part here about our pattern as believers, what it should be like. First of all, we got to remember, when we say Jesus is the Lord, we became a new temple.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes we forget that. And the old temple want to move back in and set up shop. And God had to remind you, no, we're a new temple. If I can get somebody to go to 1 Corinthians 3:16, and somebody else go to 1 Corinthians 6:19, and while you're getting there, I'm going to read something else.
I'll do 6:19.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 3:16.
Okay, I'll let you know when to go. A new temple, through whom? Through a new temple, through union with Christ, believers, talking about the church, that's us, become the new temple of the Holy Spirit, a collective body where God's presence resides. Richard, you read that 1 Corinthians 3:16 for me.
Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?
Wow. Scott, read your verse.
Do Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?
Amen.
You are not your own. Sorry.
Amen. Are you good? Yep. You are not your own. What does the scripture say to you when you think about that? That from the context of you are a new temple. What does that scripture say to you, a new temple? Because we know how it is. A lot of us have been a new temple for a long time. But sometimes, in the southern context, we find ourselves backsliding to our old ways. Right? Yeah. And the Holy Spirit to remind you, hey, what you doing? Yeah. What do these two scriptures say to you as being a new temple?
Well, I'm reading 1 Kings chapter 8, and Solomon has been anointed king, and he's talking to the people about this new temple.
Mm-hmm.
And with Jesus, I mean, when he's saying a new temple, he means like a new temple, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is our ultimate temple, where it's everybody's accepted.
Amen, amen. But what about you being a new temple? See, we know Jesus' temple, but when you came out the water, you became a new temple.
Well, make me a new temple as well.
Amen.
Follow him.
Okay.
But that's,
all right.
I think about our temple and built, it's created, it's designed for worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're created new, that's what God recreated. That's why we were born again, so that we could worship Him in all that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything the temple does is about, is supposed to be worship.
And I also think, you know, we had bought three homes together, and each time that I moved in, the first thing I did was clean it up.
Yeah.
Because any residuals from the past owners in any nook and cranny. And so that's, you know, when I think of a new temple, clean up. You know, and start putting in new furniture in there. Put in what you need.
Exactly. Amen. I think it's what God was doing. God said, okay, we're going to put in what we need in here. We're getting rid of this old stuff.
With everything's constantly killing your flesh. Because throughout your life, your flesh is trying to overwhelm your spiritual side. Because you're constantly trying to kill your flesh because it wants to overgrow your spirit.
I was reading John 5:13 this morning, 13 and 14, and it was talking about, you know, you're the salt of the earth, don't lose your saltiness, you're the light of the world, don't hide your light. And it's the same I think message here, which is you have a new spiritual covenant with God. We do, I do, and not to lose that spiritual essence. You know, it says, you know, salt, we're to bring the flavor of righteousness. We are to help purify the world around us, to be a positive influence for Christ. But if we're not, you know, it says salt is to be thrown on, it's like salt to be thrown on the ground and trampled upon. If we're not conscious of this, of being a new temple and keeping that perspective, we can degrade it and make it useless to God.
Amen. You know, I remember when I first got baptized, man, and one of the most exciting things was, they told me, was everything that's been done before will be wiped clean. That's one of the most exciting things I remember. It was wiped. You're getting a fresh start, like a fresh start. Everything else, it don't matter. It's a fresh start. I was like, wow. That was one of the most exciting things, becoming this new temple, knowing that my past can't be held against me, what I've done can't be held against me. God says it's a fresh start. And the only thing that God required is that you just change. I don't want you to act like this person. Jesus is the template you're going to be like now. That was exciting for me. I think that should be exciting for all of us. Like, this is a fresh start.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I felt it. It wasn't just like somebody told me, like, yeah, okay. It was like, I felt it. I felt spirit like, you're clean. Yeah. You're fresh. This is exciting. It was joyous, you know? And then I kept on living. I'm like, okay, Sydney Docker, you know, you got to still be the template. You got to have that same excitement and joy. You know, the other day I found myself, and I was thinking, I was like, and I think about what the scripture said and what people said, you know, every temptation that you are dealing with or every struggle that you're dealing with, Jesus went through the same thing. I thought that was refreshing. Now, the other side of me said, yeah, but Jesus only lived 3 years. You know, that's just the devil talking to me sarcastic, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if 3 years or 70 years, he experienced the same thing. And I thought that was refreshing to say, you know what? The original template for which we are based off of has experienced all the same thing, and he remained faithful. And you can do the same thing. Which brings me to our last discussion point. Now that we are a new template, life patterns. Let me get this open here. Life patterns. I'm sorry, Donna. Life patterns. Yeah. Which brings me to the new last point. And read here for you. Life patterns. Believers are called to have the mind of Christ, imitating his humility, service, and obedience, becoming living examples of God's character in the world, just as Jesus was. So here's a couple of questions we're going to discuss. What are some of Jesus's acts of humility?
The first one that pops in my mind is washing his disciples' feet.
Okay.
Allowed himself to be squeezed into the form of a person.
I thought about that same thing.
Yeah.
I want to pause that for a minute.
Yeah.
Imagine you are the original son, child of God.
Yeah.
And you and dad has this discussion. And he said, sure, dad, I go. And you're going to leave the throne, go down there, allow yourself to be wrapped in this humanity flesh that you created everybody in, and restrict yourself out of there. I mean, kind of restricting your God powers, just so Sidney Docker can get it.
Yeah. And not feeling the mold of the time,
mm-hmm.
with the teachers of the law, how they didn't look to him because he didn't fit into what they thought he should look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He allowed
being different.
Yeah. He's created things to kill him on a cross.
Wow.
That is unbelievable humility.
Wow.
That's what I was going to say. That was humility to me, that just going to the cross to die for our sins.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that is great humility, that I'm just going to put me aside and just humble myself, and my whole concern is someone else, that I'm going to die. But not just die. Die like he died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That was just, I think I've learned over the course of the years, just and reading about how he died and everything, that just really makes me see his death different. When I talk about Jesus dying, it's not like, oh, he died on the cross by sin. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a different type of death. It was just, it was a spiritual death too, because he was separated from God, but you know, when I think about it on a human basis, you know,
mm-hmm.
if he had even been able to last as long as he did, getting from all that he endured and then getting to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that's humility in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I just think
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Even before that, just all the times he was, you know, ridiculed and spit on and all that, and he never retaliated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you get enough of hearing how bad you are, you want to say something.
Yeah.
But he didn't, you know. He dusted his feet off and went on to the people that he knew. You know,
yeah.
He would listen. He knew that there were people out there that were hungry for what he had. And he knew that if he let go, then we wouldn't have had a chance.
Mm.
Kind of reminds me how Peter drew his sword and said,
mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He put around him a bunch of guys that most companies, you know, there's a great little story about, you know, would an HR director hire any of the apostles, you know, and basically would find them all unqualified for service.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he humbled himself. I'm going to choose these unschooled, ordinary men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to choose the learned scholars, you know, the religious leaders. I'm going to teach these unschooled, ordinary men how to live according to my template.
Wow.
And then they will show others. That is an incredible amount of humility as well, because sometimes we gain, you know, we feel like our in our pride, we're uplifted by the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's in my crew reflects on me.
Mm-hmm.
But he like chose folks who were like, nothing to recommend them, you know, but that they were following Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
He stood up for the prostitute. He was willing to defend those that everybody else thought they were throwaways ways for sale.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's right.
That's awesome. What are some of his acts of service? We talked about his humility. What about his acts of service?
Forgiving people's sins, I think, is a pretty good act of service there.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah. You
his
see,
healings.
Huh?
His healings.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You guys
are done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus showed the importance of food and righteousness by feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
He met their need where they were, the hunger.
Yeah.
And you will see him a lot entertaining people or being entertained. He liked to have dinner with folks, so there's something righteous about having meals together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Turn water into wine, that's pretty good.
Amen. 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 Patricia, why did Gloria kept laying hands on you?
She wanted me to feed her, but it didn't
happen. Oh, Lord.
It would be like Jesus, follow the template.
Amen. What are some of his acts of obedience?
Dying on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sound like that is prayer life too.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming down here to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says Jesus only did what God told him to say. He only said what God told him to say and did what God told him to do, and that he learned obedience through his suffering.
Mm.
What that suggests to me is that there were some conversations he had with the Lord about some of the things he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, but maybe that wasn't the only time. You know, I was like, yeah, do I really need to do it this way? But he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it.
Loving each other, or you know, loving mm-hmm. each other and
lovable.
Yeah. And he had a great example. I mean, he went to Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
for all the different mandatory meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't miss them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think about how he cured everyone. Mm-hmm. He didn't take the ailments away. And that must, you know, like from the human perspective,
mm-hmm.
must it have been hard.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his obedience mm-hmm. to God, there was a lesson there that we all really need,
mm-hmm.
is that, yeah, God's glory is going to be everywhere regardless of ailments or something.
Mm.
He's still there. And, you know, obedience. Now, you can't heal everybody.
That's true. That's true, yeah. Yep. Everything's for a reason. That's so
for
true.
A reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you can also think about when he was the kid, when he stayed in the temples, when his family thought that, you know, he was traveling back home with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could think of it maybe him being disobedient to his earthly parents, but he was obedient to the spirit that told him to stay there and learn,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, even beyond what his human parents could comprehend, he knew that he needed to learn the scriptures in order to be able to live them. And to me, that's the obedience to me, the script, to the spirit of not doing what, you know, human kid would do. You know, your parents said, go, you need to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, in order to be like the perfect template, God is not searching for us to be perfect. He just wants us to make every effort to be righteous. And if we make every effort to be righteous, God finds that pleasing and perfect to him. So some things to think about, or some things to talk about, is what's one thing that you can do as being a template of Jesus to imitate his humility? Just one thing. He has plenty of them. You guys are doing a lot of things to do in humility, but it's like, man, what's the one thing that in my template, because I'm created like my King, my Lord, my Savior, that I can embrace that one humility thing that he did and make it my own and become good at it? What's one thing in his service to humanity that I can take from him, the original template, and embrace and make it my own and be good at that? And what's the one thing that I can take from his obedience and embrace that and make it my own and be good at that? That's something to think about every day. Every day. You guys gave a lot of, to me, thought-provoking things. Like, wow, there's a lot that I'm still not doing. A lot of growing I still have to do. And I have to be willing to do that. That would be the perfect template. I'm going to close out with this, and then we'll get that communion. In the essence, Jesus isn't just like a template. He is the living embodiment of God's ideal for humanity and the means by which humanity can become a dwelling place for God, making him the ultimate template for divine human connection and life. God desires to dwell within us. God desires to walk with us. But in order for that type of relationship to happen with us and God, man, we've got to imitate the perfect template. Mm-hmm. We just do. And everything that the perfect template did. I like what Gloria said, you know, you're going to get people around you who are not like the crew that you want. You know, we all know in our lifetime, we've had people like, that's the crew. We click. God said, yeah, you're too comfortable. We're going to get you around a whole bunch of other people. You need to grow, you know, you need to grow. And so to be that perfect template like Jesus, you know, where we're going to have to submit and we've got to take pieces of Jesus's character and say, I need to apply this to my life so I can be like my King. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. And Father, we thank you so much. God, just for you, God, glory be to you. Yes. God, glory be to your name, which is a name, just the highest name in this universe.